good and gracious God who looks down on us and finds the value within us despite our outward crumpledness and stomped onness. We pray this morning that your word would fill this space and would speak to us in these words of mine and in spite of them. In Jesus' name, amen. I hate them. You hate them. We all hate them. And yet if I were to go out to your car at this very moment, I'd probably find at least one or two in your car door, if not a couple in your center console. If I went to your house, I'd probably find a bowl of them just sitting on your dresser. Or if you're on the more organized side of things, I might find some sitting in your closet, packed neatly into little paper tubes. If you went to my house, you would find them sitting in an earthenware jar on a shelf in the kitchen. I'm talking, of course, about that ubiquitous but almost worthless piece of currency, the copper-coated scourge of pockets everywhere, the penny. Now, in recent years, the penny has come under attack for being practically useless. What can you actually buy with a penny, after all? Not even a penny, it turns out, because it costs 1.62 cents to make a single one. Various bills have been brought before Congress seeking to eliminate them. Various groups have been formed to lobby against their continued production. Citizens to Retire the U.S. Penny and the Coin Coalition, just to name two of the many. But banking on the penny's eventual fall from grace, some people are actually out there hoarding them by the millions. ABC News tells the story of a guy named Joe Henry of Medford, Oregon, who had to build a warehouse behind his home just to manage his ever-growing collection of pennies. Why do Joe and others like him hoard pennies like this, if they're practically worthless? They do it because the material that a penny is made of is worth more than the value that the government assigns to it. Although a penny is technically worth 1 cent, those made before 1982 have about 2 cents worth of copper in them. All that's holding these pennies back from a melting pot is a law that makes it illegal to alter or deface any piece of U.S. currency. However, if the penny finally gets the axe, these hoarders will be able to melt them down, sell the copper, and double their money. That's not such a bad value for such an outwardly worthless piece of currency. And then, friends, we have our reading from the Gospel of Luke this morning. And when we open the pages, we immediately learn that the slave of a Roman officer is sick and nearing death. The officer has heard about Jesus and Jesus' miracle-working power. So he sends some Jewish elders on his behalf to go ask Jesus if he would be so kind as to come and to heal his slave. The elders do just as the officer asks. They go to Jesus and make the request. But rather than just making the request, they lead off with a bit of a character reference. He is worthy, they say in today's reading. The NIV translation says, he is deserving of having you come and do this for him. He loves our people, Jesus. And just a side note, he also happens to be the one who funded the building of our synagogue. It is clear from their description that the elders think well of the Roman officer. He's rich. He is generous. He's kind of a big deal in these parts. Therefore, Jesus, they suggest, you should go help his slave. Now, Jesus appears to agree with them because he immediately heads off with them to go to the officer's home. And as they are closing in on the house, the group is met by some of the officer's friends, and they come to them with a surprising message at their lips. "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you myself, but only speak the word and let my servant be healed, for I am also a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and the slave does it." Jesus is amazed and astounded to hear this message, so much so that he turns to the crowd that's following him and declares, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And like that, the slave is healed. So just to be painfully clear here, if you can't tell already where I'm going with this, the miracle that occurs in today's story happens not because of the assessment of the Roman officer's worthiness provided by the Jewish elders. The miraculous healing has nothing to do with the value assigned to the officer by others. Instead, Jesus proves himself to be cut of the same cloth as those penny hoarders that I mentioned earlier. He doesn't care about the value assigned to something or someone by others, be it 1 cent or a value high enough to earn you the label of high net worth individual. What matters to Jesus, it appears from this story, is what's on the inside. Jesus cares about what you're made of, not what other people think of you. The Roman officer, for all his wealth and generosity, for all that others held him in high esteem, he on the inside was humble and had this amazing and profound trust in Jesus' power. That humility and trust, that's what ultimately led to his slave being healed from afar. What was on his inside is what counted. Though admittedly a bit trite, this message that God cares about what's on the inside and not on the outside, that God cares about what's on the inside and not what others say about us, I think that is both good news for us, and I think that's also really hard news for us to hear. This message is good news because it means that it does not matter what others think about you. They can call you a fool, a pain in the butt, worthless, lazy, or funny looking, and it does not matter to God what they think. They do not get a say in whether or not you are worthy or not worthy, whether you're deserving or not deserving of God's love. Hallelujah. Now, I will, of course, temper that by saying that if everybody around me is saying that I'm being a jerk about something, I need to at least give that a fair hearing, because just because other people say it doesn't necessarily mean that they're wrong. Amen? Amen. Now, at the same time, though, this message is hard news for us because it means that our own opinions and our own assessments about other people are not the final word. We also don't get to decide who's in and who's out of the kingdom of God, who's deserving of healing and who's not, who's worthy of God's love and who's not. This story invites us to have humility about our judgments of others because we do not see as God sees. We do not know the content of another person's heart. And so whether you consider yourself to be a shiny new penny or whether you consider yourself to be scuffed and dingy, whether those around you think you're shiny and new, or whether those around you think that you are scuffed and dingy, or whether you think others are shiny and new, or you think others are scuffed up and dingy, remember, friends, remember that God sees through that exterior and finds the real worth and the real value within us all. Amen.